A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
Hello, Stephen. It's Linda Snell, MBE. As a fellow thespian, I'm sure you're aware of my recent mysteries triumph. Time waits for no one, of course, and thoughts must now turn to other events in Ambridge. So could I pencil you in to open our summer fete?
My dear Linda, I couldn't think of a greater honour. I really couldn't. I'd be following in some pretty amazing footsteps. I think Her Royal Highness Princess Margaret opened a fete at Ambridge once, didn't she? Unless I'm hopelessly wrong. I take my hat off to you, and I would be honoured to open the fete.
Oh, so we can take that as a yes, can we, Stephen? If they asked you, would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Fantastic. Fantastic.
I'm confused, Jacqueline. Wasn't Linda scrambling around trying to find somebody for the fete when she'd forgotten that she already asked Stephen?
She was, yeah. Absolutely, Royfield. You must have been, it must have been when you weren't listening, when you were otherwise engaged. Yeah,
no, she was. It's not me. It's Linda's not listening. She's completely forgotten that she asked Stephen Fry and he said yes. And then she's going around asking people, do you know a celebrity?
He is the ultimate celebrity. He's been on Dumpty Dum, so he should make the arch, as you would have thought.
So now we should have the proper official start to this week's Dumpty Dum.
Gracious.
We'll be right back. I don't know about you, Jacqueline, but I think that Marie Bray that's doing all these wonderful dum-dums, she's wasting her talent sending them into this old podcast. She needs to be, like, knocking them out in an orchestra or a symphonium somewhere. They're blooming awesome. Thank you for that,
beautiful,
Marie Bray.
Beautiful.
Now, this dum-dum is sponsored by Bernadette Hawkes, who became a new Patreon sponsor this week. We doff our cap to you, Bernadette. Now, to sponsor this podcast, we'll tell you how to become a Patreon sponsor later on in this episode. But, folks, this is Dum-De-Dum, the show with the reality docudrama that is centred on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the trying to style it out Royfield Brown, and today I'm joined by...
the raver, that is, Jacqueline Berto in Sangwang.
This week's Dum-De-Dum tune is from R. Marie Bray. And Marie, seriously, with that level of talent that you've got, don't be sending them into this podcast. Do something more worthwhile with your time. But whilst you're slumming it with us, we do appreciate it. That was utterly awesome. And that was inspired by the modern classical composer, Inaldi. Don't really know of his work. Do you, Jacqueline?
Yes, I think he's a... I think I know a little bit. Italian composer.
Mm-hmm.
Plays the piano a bit in a bit of a generic way, but that it was beautiful. Thank you, Marie.
On this week's episode, we've been lucky enough to hear from Claire from Clapham. She's back. Rachel from Brum. She's the first time calling her Witherspoon. He's royalty, don't you know? Drew from Tokyo. He's also back. Brian Boogie Swaz, he's back. And of course, Panto Martin. Plus, we're going to have Tweet of the Week from Purple Pumpkin. And we have the social media roundup from our Sue, Queen, or Tart. We'll also give you the Facebook roundup. We'll be welcoming our new members. We even have emails. Gosh, remember them when people used to send in emails. And we also have reviews. Not one, but two reviews. Crumbs. Jacqueline, we best be brief. It's going to be a bumper, bumper, bumper episode. But first, let's look at the week in Ambridge from Arsu, Queen, or Tart.
Hello, lovely people. It's Sue here, Queen or Tart on the Twitters, and another week in Ambridge. Well, this week had me wondering if I'm just too old for the Archers. After 50 years or so of listening, including whilst in my mother's womb, this is not something, let me assure you, that I would normally think. Sunday had the ghastly party where, unsurprisingly, nobody showed up, except Chelsea, who stopped thinking that the sun shines out of Steph's posterior. Oh, and the stripper turned up. Oh, and Ben and Beth. It was very predictable that Ben and Steph would end up snogging like a pair of 14-year-olds behind the bike sheds at a school disco. Predictably, Beth walked in on them, and it was like the problem pages in Jackie magazine. I was very sad to discover that this stopped being published in 1993, and I think we are the worst without it. Because when we heard Vince's reaction to his daughters, I think it's really obvious how Steph has turned into a monster. She's never read the Jackie problem pages and doesn't know what doing your sister over with your boyfriend is going to result in. We got jokey baby names for the fraternal twins. Does anybody care? I'm finding it hard. I must be truthful. The social worker is dropping Martha off the case list. This did make some sense if Chris and Alice reunite. But otherwise, don't we think that somebody should be keeping an eye out for her? My goodness, I was so astonished. There was some farming news, well, some tangentially farming news. At some indeterminate point in the future, Grey Gables is going to go back to taking veg and cheese, and they could be manufacturing buffalo, in fact, using buffalo, to manufacture mozzarella. They'll need grazing for the buffalo, but that can all be sorted, apparently. It does all sound very lovely. I want to know who in their early 20s wears slingback kitten heels. If you put them into Google, you get eBay people flogging off their old lady shoes and John Lewis's, which I don't think John Lewis's is generally considered to be trendy, though I am now questioning whether trendy is the word that people use about being trendy anymore. Apparently raves are still a thing. Wow, I feel really old now. Steph lied about snogging Ben and that they both took two to tango. I wanted to call her a slag. Oh, dear. The following day, Ben and Beth split up for good. She doesn't want to be the brainy one. Believe me, Beth, brainy is good, especially if you compare yourself to your sister. Roy and Kirsty brought things down to a farce with a dinner date with Ardell. I'm not sure who thought it was the date. There was spillage and removed trousers, and Ardell is beginning to warm to Ambridge. Helen wanted all the gossip, maybe over a sleepover. Ardil got his sleepover, but only on the sofa after missing his curfew. He's a grown man with a curfew. Apparently, he's also new and nice and funny, and if he'd made a move, Kirsty might have been amenable. Ben is sulking like a teenager after he got sent home. Honestly, I could see the pout coming off him through the radio. Apparently, someone callous and selfish broke Ben's trust. Steph, I think they're talking about you, love. Martha's going to a body and spirit workout with her Auntie Kate and is being allowed a pyjama party. Poor Martha. Still, it allowed Alice and Chris to go to the ball. Thank goodness that Kenton has put on lovely no-alcohol options these days, named after fairy tales. I quite fancy Rapunzel, but I don't think I can go as far as the Three Little Pigs. Kenton, you are a bit of a pillock. And then, oh my goodness, there was the rave. I couldn't tell the difference when the set list changed to one that Russ approved of. It frankly sounded like the worst evening out you could possibly have. I was impressed that Chelsea took a change of clothes, but it was definitely not her first rodeo. Thank goodness it stopped. Let's hope that next week might get us back into adulthood. Till then.
This last week in Ambridge, we know that, and we talked about this, didn't we, last week, that they need to recruit young blood into fans of all things Ambridge. But I found it very choppy water, shall we say, this week. I don't know about you, Jacqueline, but at one point I felt old. Really? Well,
yeah.
The mic is yours, madame, because just
merci, monsieur. Over to you. There were lots of things that I hated about it, but in fact, I think the writers are, yeah, going for let's attract the young people, but by pissing off the old people. There were so many tropes about how we as older people see people. Russ was brilliant, absolutely brilliant for his rejection of going to a rave. He did all the things he shouldn't have done, including taking drinks off someone that he didn't know. And that was a kind of, let's get everybody cheesed off with the young people so that we all love the Archers.
I think you've put in the best spin on this humanly possible.
Right. I'm a very positive person.
As am I. I'm also my ears do not deceive me. Right.
I'm one glass of champagne in. Cheers. And also, you told me last week I was a bit on the down, so now I'm being on the
Listen, I'm glad that you are pro the last week in Ambridge, because I'm definitely pro what the producers have said to the script writers, and I'm pro that. Inject new blood into Ambridge. There needs to be new characters and they need to be developed. I just think it was gone about in such a cliched, hackneyed, do you actually know any young people way that I'm just, bearing in mind, I'm 53, right? So I'm not the target audience in terms of recruiting a new listener to Ambridge. Because if I'm not listening to it at the age of 53, I'm never going to be listening to The Archers. So I get it. But I do have a little bit of a Peter Pan complex. I do like loud music. I do like clubbing and dancing. And you know what? You do not, at a rave, go up to the DJ and not tell him what records to play.
Absolutely crazy. I'm 63, and I wouldn't. Well, I would go to a rave. I like dancing. I like making a lot of noise. I'm very blah blah blah. But going up and asking the DJ to change the music, if it was at all possible. In fact, I'm absolutely delighted about the rave on Friday in the Archers, because we had a rave here in our village last night.
Stop it.
No, it's true. Sangwen was a rave central. Hey ho, there were about 55 of us.
And nobody tried to get it banned.
Well, if they did, they didn't manage it. It was just amazing. Just suddenly about 11 o'clock last night, beat started. It was a lot of hairy people in the woods with a pack of beer. But it was great. We walked up there with the dogs because we always walk the dogs in the evening late. And we stayed for about 3 hours. It was just all and it was a rave. We loved it.
Listen, I tell you what we need to do, right? Because I am going to try, because I am always pro Ambridge. I'm pro Borsuch. I'm pro whatever they're trying to do. But I struggled with this week. But let's hear what the good, dear, sweet listeners in Dum-de-dum land thought.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
First off, it's Brian Holding.
Hello, it's Brian. Hope you're well. Yeah, I feel very old this week.
Oh,
it's obviously younger listenership in week. This is, I think, I felt a bit divorced from all that. I don't know what an influencer is. Well, I do know what an influencer is, but I don't care what an influencer is. More to the point. And we had two instances where people walked in on people unexpectedly. Obviously, Ben, Beth and Steph, and Kirsty, Ardil and Roy. Second one played for laughs, which was okay, but too soon after the first one, which is serious. Didn't like that. It's a bit of a trope. I do think Ben and Beth will get back together because Beth's been given the keys to the Brookfield kitchen. So that die's been cast for her eventual fate, I think. So, yeah, I was a bit nonplussed with all the things going on this week. I couldn't get into it. But, you know, you've got to encourage new people to listen, so you can't rely on ancient artifacts like me all the time. But I hope you'll be a bit more spread out next week. So all the best for the next week. Nice to talk to you. Bye for now. Bye.
Madam Berto, you enjoyed the last week.
Yeah, I did. And he's an ancient artifact. He admits it, Brian. He said that. He called himself an ancient artifact. No, Brian, think positive. Go with the young.
But here's the thing, though, right? Let's put the rave stuff, Chelsea being wowed by Steph and the parties, put all that to one side, right? Kirsty and Adil. Hot tea on his trousers. Come on now.
Yeah, that is a bit of a trope. If you've heard one, it's like a bit like a Brian Ricks farce from the 1950s. Very much
absolutely.
My era.
Absolutely. Then Roy walks in. He's like, oh, yeah. Please, no. No.
Grow up. You can't attract young people by using 1950s, 1960s stuff. Comedy stuff. Voila.
And the thing is, we know that they both fancy each other. And yes, I appreciate the slow dance of, you know, two people getting together, not quite feeling confident enough to say, I like you, and the first kiss and all of that. But this is tortuous. And
no, it's not it tortuous.
It is.
It's not.
Hot tea on your lap. Oh, your trousers. Oh, you know. It's like,
take them off
now.
It was a very silly story, storyline, really. And who, when you only live in the same village, doesn't go home, has to sleep there because you've spilled tea on?
I suppose there was the whole thing about there's a curfew. Linda's imposed a curfew.
And that is irritating in itself. For goodness sake, when I go to the UK, I stay in a lot of B&Bs. Love a good breakfast when I'm in the UK. Never eat an English breakfast here, but going off to the UK, it's my chance to have eggs and bacon, et cetera, et cetera. HP sauce. Never stayed in a B&B that has a curfew ever. They have keypads to get in, so you can come and go when you like, but never a curfew. That is so Ambridge. That's so 1960s. That is something that's not in of our time.
Last week's Archers is written by Nyla Ahmed. Now, I just think there's obviously something which we're missing here. I think Nyla was obviously under severe pressure from those people above. And something happened. And then Peter Leslie Wilde directed it. Something happened with Peter. I don't know what happened with Peter, but I'm giving him a pass on this. And Jeremy Howe was just missing it in action. I can honestly say that was one of my least enjoyable weeks listening to The Archers.
Oh, Royfield, I feel so sorry for you.
The thing is, you know, as seasoned listeners of this podcast know, I used to be a DJ. I DJed in clubs. People going out raving is kind of close to my heart. And that was no rave. Come on.
No, it wasn't. Queuing at a bar? Have you ever queued at a bar? You know, at a rave? Nah.
Well, there were two performances which I think were pretty good. Beth and Ben. I'm not going to bite all the mechanics, i.e. Steph went in to kiss Ben and Beth walked in at that moment. But the anguish that Ben displayed, that Ben Norris displayed playing Ben Archer, I believe that. And we know that him and Beth are going to be able to sort this out. But I went, you know what? This is a continuous drama, i.e. a soap. There's some soapy tropes. I get it. But the rest of it, I struggled with. I struggled, Jacqueline.
Oh, I'm feeling your pain there, Royfield. But
you enjoyed it.
Hey, well, everybody's different.
I take your word for it, right? I didn't hear anything else good, but I'm going to take your word for it. But let's hear what Panto Martin has to say, because he's somebody whose opinion I value.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Panto Martin here. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, yes, it is. So, this week has been Casey week. I feel so sorry for Ben. I can't believe that Beth would take on so, knowing how awful her sister Steph is. The selfishness knows no bounds. At least Ben can try and find a new girlfriend with a name that is different to his dog to save confusion. Come here, Bess. I mean Bess. Come on. Exactly. What laughs we had about Adiel's trousers. Slapstick at its best. Obviously, there'll be something more to come from this, apart from Roy's blushes. But it did feel like I was in a Wallace and Gromit cartoon. However, what heartwarming scenes with Chris and Alice, who are finally working together properly and doing the right thing by Martha. I hope this continues for the foreseeable future. At least that way we can get rid of whiny Alice. Still no Joy, though. Please bring her back. I miss her lovely voice and positivity. I half expected her to turn up at the rave just to show Russ a thing or two. That's a bit worrying, isn't it? Russ. Not sure about him in Chelsea. Always gives me the creeps that he's going to try something on with somebody younger. Anyway, that's all from me. Have a week that's as fabulous as you are, everyone. Bye.
I forgot about Chris and Alice. I was that discombobulated by the last week, I forgot about that storyline. And yes, we know how that's going to end up. It's going to end up with them getting back together. I will give that an unqualified thumbs up. All the rest over to you.
Which I think is exactly how you predicted it months ago, weeks ago. Which is exactly how you predicted it weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say about what Panto Martin opined about? Because I'm just going to end up repeating myself ad nauseum. So you right. best well, take stop. Control
stop,
of this
stop,
mic.
Stop. Yeah, I will. I'll take over now. Russ. Let's talk about Russ. Russ is I'm not going to use the word paedophile. He is an abuser. He's an abuser of young people. He is one of those people that is a predator. And I didn't like when him and Chelsea, I feared for Chelsea when he was talking to her. I think he should get his comeuppance. I'm sorry.
Didn't he give her some lessons or something or another? There was an interaction back last year with Russ and Chelsea. And I think it's a bit harsh to call him a paedophile. I think technically he's not, but he's a wrong'un. He's a wrong'un and he's abused his position as being a teacher for / lecturer. He absolutely did that. Right.
Absolutely.
He had a position of trust and he crossed certain boundaries which you're not supposed to cross. But you can't call him a paedophile. Like, come on, Jacqueline.
No, I can't call him a paedophile. And in fact, well, you have,
but you're just wrong. You're wrong.
Well, yeah, I accept I'm wrong, Royfield. He's not a paedophile, technically.
But he's a wrong.
But he's a wrong'un. He's abused the trust. He was a teacher, for goodness sake.
Absolutely. What I did find interesting was the not too subtle arm twisting that Lily gave him so he'd actually go to that rave. Though, thank God Lily bumped into Sol at the rave.
Oh, yes, that was nice. Very nice. She poo-pooed the whole idea of being with him. She bigged up Russ. But in fact, that's too cold to come.
Did she, though?
Not really. But it's a very interesting. I like that storyline. It's an intrigue. It's a bit of a happy story of young people with Russ on the side, who's not a happy young person.
Dare I say, I think the expression is off his tits, isn't it? He was just on something terribly at that rate. And I don't know, whatever. I'm going to say nothing more. But one thing I did notice was there was "Oh My Days." "Oh My Days" was used 3 times, and Kirsty said that Adil had to style it out. So, wow, there was some modern urban vernacular thrown into the Archers this week.
I'm sorry, I have no connection with any urban vernacular. Is "Oh My Days" currently used? Because "Oh My Days" is a very... Really?
Yeah,
surprises me. I was shocked. And I thought, oh, God, thank God I'm not playing Archer's Vodka Drinker Bingo with "Oh My Days" on my card. Because "Oh My Days" is one of those 1960s expressions from Immingham.
It's come back. It's come back if it ever went away. That's what the Ute Dem on the street say, "Oh My Days." But when Kirsty said to style something out, though, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was very... I actually talked to my 20-year-old daughter who came back tonight and said, "What are you doing, Mum?" So I'm listening to the caller innerers, and she said, "Oh, whatever happened to that woman who got stabbed by her husband and went to jail?" So I had to think. No, "Oh My Days." No, Emily, that was Helen who stabbed her husband and went to jail. No, she didn't, because she got out. But it was one of those really weird cross story lines.
Well, you know what we should do now? Because the script says, as given to us from Philippa Hall, says, after 2 calls, you then say, the best and easiest way for you to record a message or a plot prediction is to go to speakpipe.com/dumdydum. Don't forget the T in the middle. And you will also find a link to it in the show notes.
And we need your calls in by 6 p.m. on Sunday, UK time, despite the fact that neither of us are in the UK at the moment. Please keep your call to a maximum of 2 minutes and bear in mind that you need to be at least 18 to take part.
Now, we need your help to keep this ramshackle podcast on the road. There's 3 things you can do. First off, if you haven't done so already, hit subscribe on whatever podcast you're listening to us on. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a 5-star review. It'd be hugely, hugely, hugely appreciated. And finally, now this is the 3rd thing, you could consider becoming a Patreon, just like Bernadette Hawkes has done. Patreon is a way of tipping us creators, and there are different levels with different rewards. So just go to patreon.com, which is spelled patreon.com, and search for Dumdydum, and we'd be chuffed to bits to have your support. And again, we would like to thank Bernadette Hawkes, who's joined the Inner Sanctum by becoming a Patreon this week. Now, when you become a Patreon, one of the rewards is that you will be able to get a ringside seat when we go and do when we relaunch our Friday Zooms. The first one, we're going to throw out to everybody, anybody who listens to Dump Dump, but then after that, only those who give us their hard-earned shekel will get that link. So that is one hell of an inducement. Thank you again to Bernadette Hawkes, and thank you to all the other Patreons. That means so much to us to have you behind us rooting for the podcast, just like Jazz's pigs. Now, before we go back to our calls, don't forget you can send us an email if you don't fancy hearing your voice by going on to dumdydum.com and hitting contact us. Now, next off, we have Rachel from Brum, I believe. She's a new caller in error.
Hi, this is Rachel from Brum, first time caller in error. Looking back, I feel like normally they give us like around one romance storyline a year. And at the moment, they're teasing us with quite a few. So we've got Alistair and Denise, Kirsty and Ardil, and Chris and Alice maybe will, they won't, they get back together. And there's also Beth and Ben. Now we've got to wonder if they're going to get back together. So Alistair and Denise, I think they're playing the long game. I don't think that's going to be anytime soon. I think Alistair's just starting to understand his feelings. Denise is still married. It's going to take a while to develop, and I'm here for it. Kirsty and Ardil, that's going pretty fast, isn't it? So Kirsty's conversation with Helen about how she'd be quite up for it, that sounded a bit more prescient of finding out that he's married, maybe, more than them getting together after just only having flirted for about a week. Chris and Alice, I am all here for that. Beth and Ben, what a mess. What a mess. Oh, dear. It feels like sort of, what a mess. I just really feel for them. I love them as a couple so much. Totally disagreed with last week's corollary about Beth being a stereotype. She's just the best character. But I'm just wondering, is it that it was kind of difficult to convey on radio, or did Ben kiss back? Because Steph started kissing him. He said, "Steph, no, stop." And then she went, and she obviously started kissing him again, kind of made a noise, and he kind of made a noise. And then Beth walked in. So there was sort of time for him to push her away, no? Or had he actually started kissing her? What do you think?
What do you think, Royfield?
I think the poor boy was stifled. Like, that was kind of like, get off. You know, his mouth was full of somebody else's tongue. That's what he wasn't kissing back. I agree.
He was just shocked by the whole thing.
Exactly. But for Beth then to walk in at that moment, like, it's like, come on now. The conceit of this show is that we're all supposed to be Radio 4 listeners. So we all think it ain't true, but we all think we're smarter than the average cookie. And that was some on-the-nose writing that I think is a little bit beneath us. I just like, come on, you know, we need the setup to be a little bit more complex than that. I just don't know. No. I'll say no more.
But I agree with you to a certain extent. I'm not sure about how I feel about a Radio 4 listener, but as I am a Radio 4 listener. But,
so you say that we are smarter than the average cookie. I say we like to think that we are.
You like to think that, but I'm not sure that we even think that. I'm always kind of...
Yes, we do. Ooh. Yes, we do.
Think of
the output of Radio 4.
What about Radio 3? Well, no, think about Radio 3 listeners. They know they're the smarter than us.
They know that they are. That's the difference.
So maybe Radio 4, we think we are. Rachel?
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
From Brum?
Yes.
Thank you very much. A first-time caller in. I remember when I made my first-time caller in, and it was awesome to hear my own voice. Horrible, but awesome to hear it. And thank you for your views, because, in fact, I agree with everything you said.
Oh, Brums. Rachel, when you call in next, tell us which bit of Brum you're calling innering from. When
I won't
in
understand
Brum.
It, and he will.
Well, I'll give you a geography lesson, don't worry. The best people in Birmingham, I think you'll find, Rachel, are from Erdington, just saying. All right, now, moving on from that, next, it's a somewhat of a blast from the past. It's our Drew from Hamilton via Tokyo.
Wow.
Hello to everyone at Dumpty Dum Towers. This is Drew calling in with a report from the Tokyo branch office. Royfield, it's really great to have you back. And Jacqueline, it's nice to meet you. I do want to especially call out my fellow Canadian Dumpty Dummers and say Happy Canada Day. I'll also say Happy Canada Day to the Americans, even though they celebrate it a few days late for some reason, and give it the wrong name. Anyway, on to the Archers. This week, I couldn't help but roll my eyes at Steph's explanation of what had happened with Ben. He was being friendly to me, she said. That must mean that he wanted to get together with me. This is an extremely common refrain to hear, but usually it's from overconfident and misguided young men, and I was a little bit surprised to hear it from Steph. Because as she's an attractive young woman, I'm sure that she's been on the receiving end of someone mistaking simple friendliness for flirtation. I guess good on her for being as overly confident as a young man. Besides that, a couple of topics have been getting attention on the Ambridge Reddit for a while. Number one, whether Adil is too good to be true and is hiding some shady secret. And number two, whether Kirsty will end up in a relationship with him. Now, my plea to the powers that be is this. Please let it be one or the other. I don't even care which, but don't let it be both, because poor Kirsty has been through enough. Finally, one last note for this week. More of Russ on Ecstasy, please. That was fantastic. All right, everybody, have a good week. Enjoy the show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
I normally agree with everything that Drew from Hamilton says via Tokyo, but like the Russ on Ecstasy wasn't for me. Was not for me. But anyway, I'm not saying anything else negative about the docudrama that I love. So Jacqueline, fill your boots. The mic is yours.
Well, thank you, Drew. I'm glad you're well and surviving life in Tokyo, which must be pretty humid at this time of the year. Happy Canada Day to you. Love that little reference to the USA. Sorry to the USA listeners. Kirsty, I said Adil will turn out to be an axe murderer. I said that 2 weeks ago. Everybody shot me down, but she never has. She's never lucky in love. I don't wish it on her, but he is. He's very too good to be true. Adil. So, hey-ho. And Linda easy, doesn't though. Like him, and I trust my Linda.
Easy, though. Is he too good? He's too lovely.
He's very smooth, but...
You know, I don't think he's an axe murderer, but he is too smooth for me. Too smooth.
Yeah, but maybe he'll be a good, he'll turn out good for the village. I keep hoping. I'm ever an optimist, me.
He will turn out good too.
Yeah, I know you are.
And listen, if I wasn't an optimist, I wouldn't have got through the last week of listening to The Archers. I was like, you know. There has to be light at the end of the tunnel. All right, now, here's someone who's always a ray of sunshine and positivity. It's our Claire from Clapham.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. I just want to ring in with a theory about, well, Steph Casey mainly, but not just Steph, more of a broader theory about that. I think there's a part of perception that the Caseys, especially people like Steph, have been brought into the Archers' appeal to a younger demographic. And I don't think it is like that. I don't think Steph is particularly atypical of a particular type of, you know, person who is an Instagram influencer or whatever. But I can't help but feel like Steph, and especially all the rave, what was that about, is sort of pandering to an older audience who want to feel superior to the youth of today. It just feels like there are some decent young people in the Archers, don't get me wrong, and I do feel like poor Ben has been slightly wronged. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like, I don't think that like Steph is going to make young people want to listen to the Archers, but it is going to make a lot of older listeners think, oh my God, that Instagram generation are awful, which I sort of not entirely feel already, but I think it panders to those prejudices basically. So I don't think it's anything about a new demographic, and people are barking up the wrong tree with that. Anyway, that's my theory, and keep up the good work. I'll speak to you soon.
There you go. I says she's a ray of sunshine and positivity, but she slapped me down. It's not about trying to get a new demographic. It's about us old duffers, basically.
Yeah, I think I agree with Claire. There you go. I said that earlier. I thought it was more about trying to piss off the older people rather than... Well, sorry, was I not supposed to say that?
It's a family podcast. Instead of using the word piss, is there not another word you could use there, Jacqueline?
Yes, I would try again. So we can cut this out.
Give umbrage to us older listeners.
So
Yes, instead of trying to cheese off us older listeners by adding younger people, I agree with Claire. I think they're separating older, younger, making a separation between us. And it's nothing to do with whether we like, whether we are young or old, but it's just all about getting it sorted, getting it, what am I trying to say?
I don't know, but I'm here for the ride. Go on, you finish your thought, Mrs.
I'm trying to finish my thought, but in fact, I got distracted by something on my screen, so sorry. People do know that we're recording this at nearly 11 o'clock at night, and I've been up since 5 o'clock. Crikey.
And you were out at a rave the night before.
Yeah, and I got in at 3 o'clock yesterday. Raving, that's what it's all about. Anyway, No, Claire from Clapham, I completely agree with her. I think the older audience thing, we're pandering to the younger audience, but we're not really. Not trying to attract the younger audience, but we're definitely trying to cheese off and make the older audience think that we hate the younger audience.
You got there in the end. Right. That Claire from Clapham dealt with. We have our very last caller in a row, and his caller in a row royalty, as is Claire from Clapham, to be fair. But this is Witherspoon from the Upper Lower East West Side in New York.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Royfield, Jacqueline, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here, wishing everyone a happy 4th of July. These days, probably both sides of the pond are celebrating the separation of our two nations. On to two Ambridge couples currently dealing with their own separation issues. First, the millennials, Alice and Chris. We're truly relieved and happy that this week their war of words has ceased, and they've been getting along like two peas in a pod. Most, including our hosts, believe that they'll be getting back together. I would certainly celebrate that, but only if both Alice and Chris are truly happy being in a relationship with each other and that it supports Alice's continuing sobriety. Alice is now fully engaged in motherhood, but marriage to Chris has seemed to constrict her over the years and prevent her from reaching her full potential. As fans of Into the Woods, which I saw this weekend, know, a happy ending depends on what point in the story you're reading, watching, or listening to. So let's wait till the next act of their story. Now, on to our Gen Zers, Ben and Beth. We're all very sad that they broke up, as they're both very good people and made a nice couple. But remember, Ben is only 20 years old. For him, at this point in his life, to meet his one and only, and for them to live happily ever after, again referencing Into the Woods, is pretty unlikely. Ben should have been more supportive of Beth as she dealt with her sister. He should have also picked up on the cues and maintained his distance from Steph. So Ben has some maturing to do, and Beth has to figure out her trust issues. I think they'll go out and lead their separate lives and then get back together in a couple of years. The scriptwriters are playing the long game here. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for that, Mr. Spoon. Right, you're being all positive, so there you go. There's a call for you to dissect and to answer.
Thank you, Royfield. Thank you, Witherspoon. I agree. It's quite a relief that Alice and Chris are kind of not fighting anymore. But will they be truly happy? It's not a fairy tale world, as you say, in Into the Woods. It's all about fairy tales and the future and how we get out of it and how we go forward. But I don't think she can remain sober and in a good relationship with Chris, because there are difficulties in their relationship, as Witherspoon referred to.
I don't know. I think surely the message of their relationship is to show that relationships can go through mishaps, problems, and couples can come out the stronger for it, and that they can support each other, but also give each other the space to grow and to develop as well. Chris has learned, hasn't he, he's learning how to support Alice through her addiction issues and to give her the space to confront them on her own terms, but then also to know that she's still there and that's not going to harm and jeopardize her position as the mother to their child. And then also, I think Alice has appreciated the role that Chris played in being the steady parent, shall we say, when Martha was born, when she wasn't capable of. And she's appreciating the fact, and you said as much, you know, he would take a bullet for, did he say take a bullet or die for? One or the other, I can't remember. You know,
yeah, he definitely said he would die for Martha.
Yeah, she said, you know. So, you know, so they're appreciating their love for Martha as mother and father. And I think through that, then they're appreciating that the family that they have.
Yeah, and I think, well, maybe, yes, you're right, that as they, as a more mature couple, they've been together for years, quite a few years, in comparison to the Ben-Beth story, because they're young. I mean, Ben's only 20. I mean, I've got a 20-year-old, you know, in a first relationship. I don't say it to her, but, you know, this isn't the relationship that you're going to go forward with into the next, for the next 40 years. I hope she doesn't, because you need a variety in your life. But yeah, it's been played very well. That's one of the things I liked about this week that you obviously hated, Royfield, is that there's a comparison between the good, solid, possible future and the not. But if you've been hurt, like Beth has been hurt, could you really get over that? Could you really carry on?
If you're asking me personally, I'm going to say yes, because as Ben said, he didn't cause the hurt to Beth before. I forget exactly how he put it, but it was worse to that effect. So he's been judged by the actions of somebody else. Now, I fully appreciate that people get hurt emotionally, but as Ben says, you know me. She also does know her sister. Don't get me wrong. You're going to walk in and see your boyfriend in a clinch with your sister, and your brain is going to explode. No one's expecting to see that. So her initial reaction, I completely understand. Even a second and a third reaction. But then when the dust has settled and she goes, wait on a minute, right? Ben has rung me how many times? 1,000, as she said. I know what my sister is like, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. No, don't believe the evidence of those lying eyes type of thing. You know, look at all the other evidence. Yeah. And I think, me personally, I'd have given him the benefit of the doubt, because he very obviously is contrite, not even contrite, he's like indignant that he didn't do anything.
Well, yeah, she knows her sister, but it's family, as old Vince said. It's the family, we support the family, we stick together. But also, she's been hurt before. She doesn't trust. She has trust issues. So hey,
they're young. I'm not. They're young.
Maybe they'll get back together, as Witherspoon said. They could move on and get back together later on. But they're young now. They need to just spread their wings a bit.
No. They're a good couple. I want them to be together forever. Together forever.
You old romantic, Hugh. Romantic Royfield. That's what we should have said at the beginning.
I totally am. That I will definitely wear that hat. Now, that's the end of the calls, but we actually have some email winners this week. First one is from Pete Ransom, and it's on the subject of twins in Ambridge and editorial decisions, and an observation on raves.
This is a hunch, but after the discussion last week with regards to all the twins in Ambridge being male, female and male, setting aside the amount of twins Ambridge seems to have for a second, I suspect the reason why they always seem to be male-female is simply down to future casting and differentiation between the character voices. If the twins were the same gender, then it stands to reason their vocal sound would be very similar. This leading to listener confusion. With regards to the amount of twins in Ambridge, again a hunch, but it could be a way to push up the population of characters more rapidly without having multiple pregnancy storylines. Well, that's my two penneth anyway. Good to have you back, Royfield. It's from Pete in West Beach, Brighton. Oh, he's got a PS as well. I don't think the script writers have ever been to a rave. A bar and toilets. I'm going to put in brackets. I thought that too. And asking the DJ to change the tunes? Seriously? Last rave I went to was in a farm. No, this is him, not me. Last rave I went to was in a farmer's access tunnel under the M40 in Warwickshire. Not a Portaloo or a bar in sight. And the idea of asking the DJ to change the tunes, no, just no.
Couldn't agree with you more, sir.
The next email is from Julia, which is so lovely. Thank you, Julia, for sending us a message after we talked about you so voraciously last week. Hi, Royfield and Jacqueline. I hope you are both having a lovely Monday, as well. You can tell it's Sunday now, and Sunday evening late, and we're both an hour later than in England. And a better week than last week, Jacqueline. Thank you. I'm Julia from Manchester, who called in yesterday, and after listening to yesterday's podcast, I'd be more than happy to occasionally appear as a young person's perspective on Dumpty Dum. In fact, it would be an honour. Wow. I also grew up in a small village, and I think it makes me feel safe and comfortable, as I can imagine some of the conversations happening at home. Other than this, I studied English Lit at university, and my dissertation was on fandoms and fan culture, so I can add that element too if needed. Wow!
She gave us two kisses, one for you, one for me. Two X's on the end of that.
Oh, yes, that's true. I didn't see that.
Mm. We've been like festooned with messages. You know, we have a positive embarrassment because there's another one from Jackie Beasley. She says, hello, Jacqueline and Royfield. I thought I'd put in a quick bid for the young person's presence on Dumpty Dum on the off chance that you really would like submissions. My name is Jesse Beasley from Seattle, Washington. I'm non-binary, pronouns they and them, and I'm a dual citizen, but I've never lived in England. I'm 28, turning 29 in August, and a new Archers fan listener, and I actually just started listening regularly 3 years ago or so. I do, in fact, now know what a social media influencer is. I've been on TikTok, Instagram, and the like, but I'm not fluent in social media. I hope that is a good introduction, and I appreciate all the work that you put into the podcast. You too put into the podcast. It really is the highlight of my week. So we've got Jesse and Julia, the two J's. Do you think we should get them on in a couple of weeks? What do you reckon, Jacqueline?
I think we should get them on. For a 53-year-old and a 63-year-old, we definitely need to get those younger people on.
Now, we need to, like, crack on because we've asked people for their input this week.
Now, it's reviews from iTunes. This week, we had two.
And this one is entitled Return of the Royf. He's back. The original Archers podcast godfather, Royfield Brown, has returned after a self-imposed exile, refreshed and abridged. He doesn't always deliver on his campaign promise of keeping the pod under an hour. Oh, come on now. One went like 1 hour and 3 minutes. But discussions on superheroes and the road system of the West Midlands are kept to a minimum. Jacqueline Berto adds some Anglo-Gallic charm supported by Callerina of Royalty Witherspoon, rising star Panto Martin, and many more. And that's from Skyser UK over there in Great Britain.
Thank you, Skyser. We have another review. Restored to its old self. With its new time limit, it's less rambling. Great to hear Royfield again, and Jacqueline is a fabulous addition for the community makes this show. From JRNK. Absolutely. It's all about the community, not about us.
Exactly, because we are the People's Podcast. And don't forget, folks, we'll always read out your reviews. And that's just another way you can contribute to the whole good ship that is Dumpty Dum. What has our Facebook group been talking about this week? Let's find out as we sit back for the roundup of the goings-on in the Dumpty Dum Facebook group with our Sue, Queen or Tart.
Well, hello, everyone. Sue here, Queen or Tart, for the second time today. And socials for this week. Clearly, other people understand raving so much more than I do. And Mary Brady Mills asked if someone could provide a track list. Our Stephen Bowden suggested Better Off Alone by Alice DJ. And Elizabeth Byrne, said, I love the way the background music reflects the story. So clever. John McGee said, yes, I think I heard Children by Robert Miles in there too. And Joe Florick said, I haven't heard it yet, but someone mentioned it had Sandstorm by Darude. I'm really showing my age at this point. Benjamin Kevin said, yes, Sandstone by Darude, whatever they were called, featured, but oh my gosh, that was not an illegal rave. It was a retro night. Not to mention that it was so underground and off the grid that Ruth Archer got wind of it and tried to get the Rossers to shut it down. Well, I'm delighted other people enjoyed it. Changing the subject, Guy Williams asked, will Ben and Beth get back together? Karen Cunningham said, and reflected what a lot of people said, do or don't, just make it quick. Witherspoon said, it'll be 2 years. Deborah Jean Miller said, the issue is that Beth returns, so will her awful sister. And Michael Rowan added, sister is perfect for Josh. Deborah then replied, maybe, but only if all conversations are off air. Oh, I so would love that. Kate Lyle said, I hate that they're trying to make us forget that Russ is a creepy teacher who hit on a student, destroyed her chances of a university education, sponged off her mother, caused a debt collector to turn up at her home, didn't do anything about finding a job while she took two jobs, helping run Lower Loxley and doing telesales, and he drifted about getting in the way and hanging the occasional picture. Martin Evans said, yeah, but besides that, he's a great guy. Estelle Perdita Pemberton said, yes, will he get his day of atonement? And Bronwyn Hansen said, I very much doubt Russ will atone for his previous behaviour. I do, however, hope he gets his comeuppance. Fiona Crawford said, his lechy past was at the front of my mind when he was talking to Chelsea. Ooh, that was all a bit ooh, yes. Kevin Winter said, as a teacher myself, I desperately want him to get his just desserts. Vile, self-centred, manipulative git that he is. And Jules said, not enjoying the Archers at the moment. Feels like I'm listening to Hollyoaks. All getting a bit silly. Jan Mitchell reflected that with, I rarely get frustrated by the writing in the Archers, but today I wanted to scream at my phone. Why do the scriptwriters always want to yank our chains like this? Sometimes I just want to hear about Rewilding or the Cider Club or Joe's Horse. Debbie Bridger said, I think it's getting a bit Hollyoaks. Has Phil Redmond been on the production team? Stephen Bowden was good enough to share Charlotte Higgins in today's Guardian, her roundup of Ambridge for the month, which is brilliant. It made me laugh. And the final one for this week was Keith Rawlins saying, tonight confirmed why I never stay in a B&B, especially Ambridge Hall. Being given a curfew at my age is a big no-no. Witherspoon said, if you go to a B&B in the States, they're commercial establishments with a small number of staff people. There are no such rules. You're given a key code to let yourself in if the door is locked. Adil is a long-term renter of a room. He should be given a key and allowed to come and go as he pleases. And Keith Rawlins said, Adil is a long-term boarder. We'll have laundry issues. Does Linda offer to do his washing? And I got the good reason for a hotel with a list of laundry service, 24/7 room service, a bar, a restaurant with a choice of meals. Staying in someone else's home limits your choice and freedoms. A decent hotel is far more attractive. Before anyone says about the personal touch, don't forget how welcoming Linda is being. Sniff. Well, at least Kirsty could tumble dry his trousers. Come on over to the Facebook page and join us. Whether you've been listening for a week or 40 years, you will be very welcome. I hope you all have a lovely week. Stay safe and well.
Thank you, Sue. And thank you, everybody who's posted their thoughts on our Facebook group, and quite simply just type in Dumpty Dum on Facebook. You could well be on the podcast. We have new members to big up and to thank.
Yes, this week we've welcomed new members to our Facebook group: Genevieve Ann Holmes,
Johnny Grant,
Chloe Schlo Anisco,
Carmel Golding,
Leslie McClellan,
Sally Wood,
Jill Martin,
Hilary Snell,
Blair Stanaway,
Diana Davies,
Sue Gardiner,
and Scarlett Hoskins.
We're also on Twitter under @dumtydum. Our team always includes the Archers hashtag using a capital T and A, so the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets. Also, that hashtag is your gateway to the hugely enjoyable tweet along. Also, try and include @dumtydum in your tweet so more people get to see it, which helps to keep our community growing.
As well as @dumtydum on Twitter, you can also find, because I read the script, as well as @dumtydum on Twitter, I am lost to the ether.
And I'm @JBertoSanguin.
And now, if we're talking about Twitter, let's do Tweet of the Week.
Hello, Royfield, Jacqueline, and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Purple Pumpkin here with a selection of Tweets of the Week. with thanks as ever to those of you sending at Dumpty Dum your selection of notable tweets. My nomination for must-see Twitter feed this week goes to sometime Tweeter of the Week at Nynzi, N-Y-N-Z-I, who finds a suitable picture for every occasion, this time Ramon Casas' 1899 painting, A Decadent Girl, as her response to hearing about the Casey sisters. Next to my medal winners. In bronze position, it's old favourite Ian at Ruther Ian with this Q&A. What's the fire brigade doing here? I'm not sure, but I think he's got his hose out prematurely. In silver, it's Charlotte Morgan at Cornwall Shah, who noted, "Let me read your palm is basically up there with showing me your etchings, isn't it? But then a yell of take your trousers off after 5 minutes is a good success rate." And in gold, on the same topic, Lord John Dalton of Zermatt in Wallace at JohnDalton6011 says, "I see a tall, dark stranger with his trousers off." That's it for this week. See you all at the next tweet along.
Thank you for that, Purple Pumpkin. As always, a rather funny round up some of the best tweets which have been put out under the hashtag The Archers. Don't forget you can also follow us on Instagram where we're at DumbDum. You can follow us there and you can actually see some of the team.
Yeah, even photographs. Yes, indeed. Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it, Instagram? Thanks as ever to all our contributors and to our social media supremos, Shambridge for her voices, and to our podcasting godmother, Lucy V. Freeman, and to P and Q, who held the baton for so many months last year.
Boom. What do young people say when they're saying goodbye? Laters. There you go. Laters in it.